Hey everyone, and welcome back to your daily Linux and open source news podcast. Today we have three things we need to talk about. The first one will be about KDE Neon publishing some kind of post-mortem on the errors of their transition to Plasma 6. The second one will be the EU dealing with Apple again as they found that their iPad was definitely in a monopolistic position, and so they'll regulate it as they did with the iPhone. And we need to talk about what's happening with NixOS, although it will be a general overview of the problem and not a definitive review or guide on what's happening with it, because it's a bit more complex and it should probably be handled in a separate video. So let's begin with KDE Neon. They did a little retrospective on the errors that they had when moving to Plasma 6, which led many users to have broken systems, missing packages, missing parts of their system, broken applications, failed installs, and more. The reason seemed to boil down to they just lack the manpower to handle such a big transition all at once. They tried to do too much at the same time. They lost some testing time due to doing in-person joint releases with people traveling to various places around the release of Plasma 6, and the automated test that they had in place did not cover everything that was needed. And so while these tests passed, it didn't mean that everything was fine or worked properly. So they scrambled to fix some of the worst problems to let users actually perform an upgrade without destroying their system, but in doing so, they also introduced a problem in the installer, meaning that now you just couldn't install Neon from the ISO anymore for a few days. This was also fixed over the weekend, but some bugs remained that were fixed progressively over the course of a few weeks. And the list of those problems was pretty long. They generally seem to be related to transitioning from a Qt 5 or KDE 5 package to its KDE 6 version, dependency relationships and stuff like that. So it seemed to be pretty hard to detect, and they just did not have the manpower or the time to do it properly. They probably should have just pushed that release instead of trying to have it on the day Plasma 6 officially was opened. The conclusion is that they just don't have enough people to support everything. For example, NVIDIA hardware, there were some problems with Wayland on KDE Neon, and they couldn't detect that because they don't have the hardware, they don't have the people, they don't have the skill set. They will also stop using wording such as a rock-solid base in their promo and their website because they are a semi-rolling release and they cannot guarantee that everything will always be fine. They will also try to do more testing on ISO images and have more people help with testing as well. But basically what they need is more people to ensure that Neon is a suitable distro for end users. As of now, it is a cool project to showcase the latest Plasma updates, but it is not well supported and well maintained enough to be a credible daily driver for a lot of people. I personally really enjoyed KDE Neon for a while, but I would not use it as my production system because I just encountered way too many problems when using it as a daily driver. Now, the EU is not done with Apple yet because it looks like they're designating iPad OS, the iPhone OS, the exact same OS that the iPhone runs, but for iPads, they're designating that as a gatekeeper as well, meaning that they will have to comply with the Digital Market Act on the iPad as well as on the iPhone. Apple will no longer be able to favor their own services over the ones from competitors. They won't be able to lock people into the ecosystem, even on the iPad, meaning that they will have to allow third parties the same access that they give themselves to the underlying system. They will have to allow third-party stores, sideloading. Basically, everything that the iPhone had to implement will also have to be available on iPad. Of course, Apple isn't pleased. They're using the old "it's not secure or private to let competitors have the same access as us" argument, which is pretty much BS because they can still enforce their whole permissions-based system even with third-party stores and sideloaded apps. These apps still have to be built with the APIs Apple provide, and these APIs are regulated by Apple. So if something is not private or not secure, it's on their APIs, not on the third-party app. Apple also issued a legal challenge to the EU in their court in Luxembourg, notably to try and make all their app stores be considered as separate marketplaces, as in the app stores on iOS, iPadOS, Apple TV, Apple Watch, and stuff like that. They're arguing that these are all separate and should not be regulated as a single entity, as a single marketplace, which, I mean, it's kind of fair. I wouldn't argue that the store for little smartwatch apps should be treated the same as the one on the iPhone. They're not the same. The same for Apple TV. They're not the same devices. They're not as crucial to someone's life or digital existence. So probably they should not be regulated in the same way, or at least not as if they were the exact same thing. Now, all in all, I would say the EU has been really great on that regulation front. I'm really glad to see all these locked ecosystems opening up a bit, because it will make switching and picking the best option for you way easier for people who want to do that, but it will not impact people who don't care about that and just use the defaults. And finally, we need to talk about what's happening with NixOS. A lot of people have asked me to cover this, so I thought I would talk about it here, but it definitely deserves either an entire podcast episode or a video, because it goes pretty deep, and like, there's been a lot of clickbaity sensationalism saying that NixOS is dying, which is not really what is happening, but there are some big problems. The gist of it is that the NixOS community is sort of imploding right now after a bunch of issues were ignored or silenced over the years. It's not linked to the code or the project itself, it's more the general governance of the community around NixOS. First, there have been moderation issues in the NixOS community for a while. There was apparently no moderation team to speak of. There were individual mods that just reacted after harassment or insults or hate speech or hateful stuff was done in the community, and they removed those offending problems, but after the fact, meaning that if you were a target for this, you kept being harassed until someone intervened, and there were no proactive measures to try and make sure that this didn't happen. A code of conduct was adopted, but it didn't really seem to be much followed. And as usual, when a code of conduct is introduced, you've got some weird elements in the community starting trolling about minor points and just jacking up those minor points into major issues that would ruin free speech or the community. Even though this nonsense should never exist in a code-oriented community, like, it is absolutely normal to not have completely free speech in a community talking about code, because you're here to talk about a project and code, not about political issues or anything else. Then there was the issue of some NixOS conventions being sponsored by companies involved in military activities, the famous military-industrial complex, which didn't sit well with the community, but were repeated the following year without really taking these concerns into account. And finally, there were some concerns about the company built on top of NixOS, Determinate Systems, and the general NixOS Foundation, acting like they would call the shots for Nix and how the community should behave and be regulated, with the main founder of Nix acting a bit tone deaf and silencing the concerns over moderation, over inclusion and diversity, as if they didn't exist, and basically saying, we will accept money from anyone as long as it helps the project grow. Basically, ethics don't matter here. The general feeling seems to be very negative around NixOS right now. A bunch of maintainers and contributors are flat out leaving the project. Some just want to hide their involvement with NixOS because it's sort of looking like it's becoming radioactive now. But this doesn't mean NixOS is dying as a project. The general package manager behind the distro, Nix, and its repos, Nix packages, they are still very healthy. And the NixOS Foundation isn't the main way Nix as a project survives. The foundation tends to generally just handle the donations, but it's not a funding avenue. It's an organization that manages that funding. So you could probably find a way to still get that funding from another foundation. There are some inklings that some forks could happen, or the community could maybe just ditch the current foundation and reorganize around something else. It is a bit early to tell what will happen. I do not want to be alarmist. I do not want to do a clickbaity headline on the channel, something along the lines of NixOS is dying, because this is not what is happening right now. It is a community-related issue. It's not a code-related issue. It's not that the project is insane. It's not that the project needs to be completely rewritten from scratch and no one wants to do it. It's around the community. And as with all of these issues, the community at some point will reorganize around a new town center with, and I'm not talking about Twitter here. Twitter has never been a town center. Around a new town center with healthier rules. It does mean that some elements of the community will just never come back. It does mean that it will attract some elements of the community that had left previously. It might be a reduced community, but it will still exist. The path doesn't seem to be set yet, but I don't doubt they'll manage to find one. Other distributions encountered the same kinds of problems in the past. Manjaro and its terrible governance of the distro with basically what sort of looked like embezzlement or at least ignoring the financial director, making some backroom deals with proprietary software to be included in Manjaro, the infrastructure being managed by a 10-year-old basically who knows nothing about certificates. There were a lot of problems around this, and these have been resolved, and Manjaro still exists as a distribution. Canonical had a lot of problems around its community, with the Amazon thing, with snaps, with really weird decisions, with taking control over open source projects that they founded, but then abandoned, but then regained. All of these distros are still fine, so NixOS will probably be fine as well. They just need some time to find their new footing and reorganize around something that actually works. We will have to wait and see how things go. So this will be enough for today. I hope you enjoyed listening to that. If you are interested in a dedicated video around NixOS and what is happening, more of a factual one instead of something clickbaity saying, oh no, everything is dying and burning and everything is horrible, let me know. I could work on that and try to gather as many viewpoints as I can. And as always, thank you all for supporting what I do, and I guess you will hear me in the next one tomorrow. Bye!